إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session from the topic taken from one of the chapters of Riyadh al-Salihin by Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, the chapter entitled Al-Mubadara إلى الخيرات. المبادرة إلى الخيرات وحث من توجه لخير على الإقبال عليه بالجد من غير تردد. Before we look at the comments that we want to continue with this evening, we want to go back and review quickly some of the points that we discussed last week as part of the introduction. And tonight we will continue in that introduction, yani with further comments from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, as it is related to the chapter title and the two ayat that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned as an introduction to the hadith of this chapter. So let us go back and look at the questions from the study guide number one. The first question being in three parts: title of the book and chapter in Arabic and English, the sharih, yani the explainer, the one who gave the sharh, his name, date of birth and death, and his teachers, writings and character. Okay, so the first part of the question, title of the book and the chapter in Arabic and English, the title of the book and the chapter that we are studying in Arabic and or English. It says Arabic and English, but labas, mashi. Now, what's the title of the book? The title of the book. Book and the title of the chapter. What's the title of the book? What's the title of the chapter? Naam. Naam, Abdurrahman. Okay, the title of the book is Riyadh al-Salihin. Naam. And the chapter under discussion? Hastening towards good deeds. In Arabic? المبادرة إلى الخيرات. يعني عنوان الكتاب والباب. محمد بارك الله فيك. It is as though Muhammad, he doesn't know English. MashaAllah. He just came from Mecca, so he didn't get a chance to learn English yet. So we want to, يعني he wants to participate. So from time to time we're going to help him a little bit, inshallah. Let him know what's going on. طيب, نعم, as far as the sharih, yani the one who explained the book, his name, date of birth and death. Naam. Naam. Mustafa?
Date of birth.
Okay, date of birth.
27th of the blessed month of Ramadan.
1347. His death, anybody? His death. Naam. Who's that in the back? Musa. 15th Shawwal. 1421. 1321. 1347.
1421.
He died at what age? 70. 74. Now, 74. طيب. What about his name? The Sheikh. What is his name? Naam, Abdul Haq.
Allama Muhammad ibn Salih
Al-Uthaymeen. Naam. Anybody want to add to that? Anything? Kunya? Tribe. region. طيب لا بس نعم نذير الدين أبو عبد الرحمن أبو عبد الله أها التميمي التميمي النجدي التميمي النجدي نعم نعم well he was يعني he was a professor in the Islamic University in Qasim نعم and he was also on the committee of major scholars and he was the khatib and the imam of the يعني big the masjid the main masjid in Qasim Unayzah طيب as far as his teachers his writings and his character in brief name some of his teachers one of his first and most important teacher main first teacher primary teacher naam what's your name brother
Uthman
huh
Uthman
naam
As-Sa'di
As-Sa'di Sheikh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di rahimahullah naam and after him his second most important teacher Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah and also from his teachers very important naam Muhammad Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah. Three of the foremost scholars of this era, now of this time, yani, who is more outstanding than these scholars? These were his teachers, and then he himself, and he excelled in his own right. As far as his writings, yani, just mention a couple of his books, any books that we remember, yani, that are translated in English, books that are translated in English. Now, explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, explanation, the Sharh of Kitab al-Tawheed, now, another book. Now, explanation of 40 hadith, uh-huh. Anything else? Important books that's translated in English. These books are available in English now. I mean, as far as books in Arabic, there's no end to them.
Three principles.
Three principles. Al-usul al-thalatha wa thalathatu usul. Now. Al-masail al-fiqhiyya. I don't think it's translated into English. نحن نسأل الآن عن الكتب المترجمة إلى الإنجليزية. يعني أما الكتب العربية فلا نهاية لها, right? طيب, English. Now. Huh? The names of Allah, now the principles, the qawaid al-muthla, yani the exemplary principles related to the names of Allah. Explanation of aqeedah wasatiyya. Dam, naam. Huh? Shajarat al-Iman. Shajarat al-Iman, who's the author of Shajarat al-Iman? Al-Tawdih al-Bayan al-Shajarat al-Iman, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Anyway, these are some of his books, and we can go back and look, yani we sent out a very, very brief summarized yani biography of the Sheikh. Okay, question number two, differentiate between yani we didn't mention his character, right? In brief, in a few words, what can we say about his character?
He's noble.
Very easygoing. Huh?
Modesty.
Simplicity. Sheikh was very yani humble man, simple. Yani he wasn't extravagant. He wasn't yani a person that yani was living that kind of life, very very simple. In the place where he lived, the car that he drove, the way that he dressed, he was a very very simple man. So question number two, differentiate between the two main points indicated in the title of this chapter. The two main points indicate now.
Rushing to do good deeds.
The idea of hastening, rushing to do good deeds, and the second part of it.
When you plan on doing something, a good deed, you shouldn't hesitate.
Naam, if a person plans, makes a resolve to do something good, they should move forward. Yani without hesitation, without yani reluctance, without wavering. Naam, they should move forward quickly, advance. Yani act upon it. Question number three, memorize the hadith, be eager in seeking that which will benefit you and seek help from Allah. The hadith that the Shaykh mentioned in his explanation, naam. Uh-huh. نعم احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز يعني احرص على ما ينفعك and be diligent, be eager in seeking that which is of benefit. Don't hesitate, don't waver, don't stall, don't put off, but be eager in seeking it, be diligent in seeking that which benefits, and seek help from Allah and do not feel helpless. And that's not the beginning of the hadith, but that's the point that we were looking for here. Mention some examples of the khayrat which one should hasten to perform whenever one is reminded of them. Yani some examples of the khayrat that we should hasten to do. Naam. Yani amthila lil khayrat.
As-salat.
As-salat. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Musa. As-sadaqah. Siyam. Hajj. very importantly, birru walidain. Yani, what does this mean? Being dutiful, kind, generous with parents. Naam. And he also mentioned, and there are many things that we can mention, but he also mentioned, keeping ties of kinship, keeping ties with your relatives. Mention three reasons why one may not be able to do good if he or she is slow, negligent, or lazy in performing good deeds. Three reasons why one may not be able to do good if you delay. Naam. Sickness. Might fall sick. You might lose your mouth. Transportation. You don't have means to get to where you want to go. Death. Naam. The chance, the opportunity might pass you by. Maybe somebody gives you a chance to do some good today. Tomorrow is finished. Yeah, and you can't wait. Now, Waleed, right?
Yes.
Wealth.
I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, what if you wealth, for example, if you have the money to make hajj, you delayed and now you don't have the money for it.
Okay, that's possible. A person has the means to make hajj now, they have the money, and then they delayed, and maybe the next time hajj came around, they don't have money. How did the Prophet ﷺ urge or incite men to be first in arriving for congregational prayers? Yani, what did the Prophet ﷺ say to encourage the men to be first for the congregational prayers? What did he say? What's your name, brother? Muhammad. Muhammad bin Saeed, I know your father's name, but Saeed. Muhammad, okay. The best roles for the men are the first ones, and the worst are the last ones. This is encouragement, that not to be in the worst roles, but rather try to be in the best roles, the opposite for the women. Question number 7, discuss the meaning of people will continue to delay or hesitate until Allah will put them back. يعني لا يزال قوما يتأخرون حتى يؤخرهم الله عزَّ وجل. And some of the narration said يوم القيامة. What is understood by this hadith that people will continue to delay or hesitate until Allah will put them at the back? Meaning what? First give Muhammad the first one. Now, Muhammad, yes. Yeah, the people delayed in coming to the salat, so Allah يؤخرهم يوم القيامة يؤخرهم يوم القيامة يعني make them to be last on يوم القيامة. نعم. They might be the last يعني to receive his mercy. نعم. What else? Jannah يعني in entering the Jannah يعني maybe at the end if they get in. And like this. نعم. And they would likewise maybe they will become the last يعني in doing the other good deeds in the same way that they delayed in the salat, because salat is the standard, right? And the Prophet even said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if people did well in their salat, then they would do well in the rest of their deeds, and if otherwise, then the same. Yani they would, yani the rest of their deeds would be like that. So salat is the standard. These are some of the meanings that were mentioned. Memorize the second ayat mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah in his introduction to this chapter from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah. I think it's 133, third surah, Surah Ali Imran. Who memorized this ayat, or at least part of it that we dealt with last week? That's the first ayat. Fastabiqul khayrat. Second ayat. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin أرضها السماوات والأرض. Last part of that section. عدة للمتقين. To the end of it. نعم. After this, we're going to talk about this a little bit more today. Mention some of the means which are entailed in hastening or marching forth to the forgiveness of your Rabb, as mentioned in 3rd Surah 133rd Ayah. Some of the means which are understood to be part of hastening forward to seek the forgiveness of your Rabb. نعم. Musa. Doing obligatory deeds. No doubt. I mean, but yani the Shaykh mentioned specific things in terms of earning the forgiveness of Allah. What are some of the specific things for earning the forgiveness of Allah? First and foremost, he mentioned first. What? Huh? First thing that he mentioned. Now, Ahmed? Now, first thing that the Shaykh mentioned. Now, yani asking Allah for forgiveness. Yani the first thing in terms of seeking Allah's forgiveness should be that you ask Him for it. Yani saying astaghfirullah, Allahumma aghfirli, or something like this. Now, after that he mentioned other things that contain, they are means also for earning forgiveness of sins. Like he mentioned, Abdurrahman, sadaqah. Did he mention sadaqah? Yani there's no doubt that sadaqah could be a means of earning Allah's reward, His forgiveness, and raising degrees. But as far as what the Shaykh mentioned, he mentioned three or four things specifically. As-salawat al-khamsa. That they are expiation of sins. Of whatever is between them. If a person avoids the major sins. Specifically, it came in a hadith like that. This is means of expiation of sins. Now, Mustafa. From one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is expiation of sins that were committed between them as long as the person avoids major sins. Waleed.
One Ramadan
to the next Ramadan and so on. There are a lot of other things. These are some of the things that the Shaykh mentioned. Meaning that there are different things that have been clearly identified in the Sharia, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as means of earning forgiveness of one's sins. And since everyone is committing sins by day and by night. As the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Hadith Qudsi, then we should be constantly engaged in seeking forgiveness of our sins. Naam. Last question, discuss the sabab, the cause or the means of entering Jannah, which is prepared for the muttaqeen. This is not a general question, this is a specific question, based on the explanation that the Shaykh gave in last week's discussion. Yani the sabab, or the means, the cause of entering Jannah that the Shaykh mentioned. Now, Mustafa. That came in the ayat. But the Shaykh, he said specifically, somebody remember specifically what he said. Now. فعل المأمورات. فعل المأمورات. Doing the things that we have been commanded with. Yani the Shaykh, he gave this general explanation first. Yani that it is from what? Entering Jannah is by doing that which we have been commanded with. Fulfilling the obligatory duties that Allah has commanded us with. Naam. And he also said, as further clarification of that, he said in other words, doing good deeds. That there is no way to enter Jannah except by working for it. And the only deeds that will enable you to enter Jannah is amal as-salih. Doing righteous deeds. This is the means. This is the sabab. Or these are the asbab. For Dukhul al-Jannah. And anyway, this is like summary of what some of the points that we covered last week. And tonight, inshallah, Allahu musta'an, time is very short. Between Maghrib and Isha. May Allah help us. These are some of the topics that we talked about last week from the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin's introductory comments to the introduction of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And we stopped after mentioning the ayat, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. To the end of that ayat, and the Shaykh mentioned two things. The first of them was al-maghfirah, seeking the maghfirah and how, which we just talked about. And the second of them was the Jannah. And the Shaykh mentioned, like what we just talked about, that the way to enter Jannah is by doing those things we have been commanded with. So a person should hasten to do righteous deeds, because this will be a cause of entry into Jannah. And he ended by saying, فَسَارِعْ إِلَيْهِ. So hasten, rush, yani to doing righteous deeds. The last thing that we said is what we're going to begin with today. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani this is what we're going to pick up at. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah made clear, yani He clarified, what is this Jannah? بِأَنَّ أَرْضَهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. That its width, yani, is as the width of the heavens and the earth. This is a clear point mentioned in the Quran, that the width of the Jannah is like the width of the heavens and the earth. So what about its length then? If that's just the width, what about its length, right? So Allah is telling us, this is a point of our aqidah, that we believe that the Jannah is, yani, its width is as wide as the heavens and the earth. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى سَعَتِهَا وعظمها وأنه لا يقدر قدرها إلا الله عز وجل. And this description of its width, and we can imagine what is this length, this description of its width indicates its wideness, its vastness, its greatness, and that no one is able to determine its magnitude, its extent, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani it's as wide as the heavens and the earth, and we don't know what is this length. Naam. So the Shaykh says, so hasten, yani seeking this Jannah by doing those things which would lead you to it from amongst the righteous actions, al-a'mal as-salihah. Hasten in doing righteous deeds. Yani every one of us wants the Jannah, then hasten to do the righteous deeds which would be the sabab, not the price that you pay. It would be the sabab, the cause of earning Allah's rahmah and His fadl, through which you will enter the Jannah. Because nobody will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone, right? So you can't pay for the Jannah, but you can do good deeds which would be the sabab, the cause of entry into Jannah. And this is the point that I wanted to discuss tonight, but like with the time being the way it is, we might not. But in any case, it is yani the cause, it is not the price. The Shaykh says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, ثم قال الله عز وجل أعدت للمتقين. Yani this Jannah, whose width is as the width of, as wide as the heavens and the earth, أعدت للمتقين. It has been prepared for the people of taqwa. يعني هيئت لهم. It has been made ready for them. And the one who has prepared it for them, he is Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this, as it has come in the Hadith al-Qudsi. And here I just want to say, yani the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his explanation of Lumat al-Itiqad by Al-Imam ibn Qudama, in reference to this ayat, Al-Imam ibn Qudama says that the paradise, the Jannah and the Nar, have already been prepared, yani for its inhabitants. It has already been prepared. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, this word in this ayat, Uiddat al-Mutaqeen, is a proof that the Jannah is already in existence. يعني موجود الجنة موجودة الآن والنار موجودة الآن. This word and this ayat, عدت, it means that it has already been created. Allah already created. It exists right now. It's already in existence. The Jannah as well as the Nar. And this is an important point. We believe as Muslims, and this is clearly indicated in the Quran, that Jannah is already in existence. Naam. After this, the Shaykh, he says, it has been prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعَدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared for my righteous worshippers. يعني عبادي, we could say servants or slaves, right? But we can also say that the abd is the abid, the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a greater description for the abd that is a mu'min, that he is an abid, yani ya'budu Allah, as opposed to just being a slave. Because the kafir is also an abd for Allah, but he doesn't worship Allah. So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my righteous worshippers, because here he's talking about the believers, worshippers. Ma la aynun ra'at, that which no eye has seen, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, nor any ear has heard, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, nor has yani the idea of it come across, or the yani vision of it, or the picture of it, or the likeness of it come across the heart of any human being. And again we say yani that and in some of the narration of this hadith, and it's narrated in a lot of the books of hadith, after the mention of these words, yani, it came in some of the narrations, waqra'u, and read, in shi'tum, if you like, yani in agreement with this from the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ, no soul, no human being knows, مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ, what has been, yani hidden, that they didn't see, as the Prophet said, that Allah said, it is the Jannah that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor anyone can imagine what it's like. And Allah said in the Quran that no soul knows what has been hidden for them, of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that which will be pleasing for them, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun, as a reward, as a result of what they used to do. And again, this reward is not the price, it's not the thing that they purchased by their good deeds, rather, the good deeds are again a means to earning the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Al-Hakami, in his book A'lam As-Sunnah Al-Manshura, discussed this point, and we don't have time to discuss it here now, but he mentions concerning this topic of the people entering Jannah and some of the ayahs in the Quran that mention a person will enter Jannah bima kanu ya'malun, bima kanu ya'lamun, by what they used to do, that he said this here is ba'a sababiyya, it is not ba'a thamaniyya, meaning that bima, due to which, is not ba'a thamaniyya, means it's not the price that they paid to enter Jannah, rather it's ba'a sababiyya, it's the cause that earned them the reward of Allah, His favor, the favor of Allah and His mercy and His bounty through which they enter Jannah. That's the fadl of Allah that He gives to whoever He wills. It's not something that anybody can purchase. He discussed this point and made clear the meaning of this, which is important to us, because some people might read some of these ayahs from the Quran or something similar, and they might imagine that a person enters Jannah due to specifically, they were given this because they purchased it with their good deeds, when in fact, no, it is not like that. And there are some hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, when he said this to some of the people, they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, not even you will enter Jannah by your good deeds. And he said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ أَوْ فَضْلٍ مِّنْهُ, like this, or كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, not even I will enter the Jannah by my good deeds, unless Allah covers me completely with His favor and His mercy. Meaning that I also will enter Jannah by the mercy of Allah and the favor of Allah, not because I have done enough good deeds to earn this tremendous reward that Allah has for those who believe and do good deeds. Naam. After this, the Shaykh says, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَنْ هُمْ الْمُتَّقُونَ. So who are these people, the muttaqoon, the people of taqwa, who are they? And then he mentions what came after the ayat that we just mentioned, also from Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 134 to 136. He said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, explaining who are the muttaqoon, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ, those who spend, when they are in ease and when they are in difficulty, when they have plenty and when they have little, and so on. First characteristic, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and those who suppress and hold back their rage when they are enraged. Not just angry, but they are enraged. They suppress their anger. There's something here, Akhi? Oh, right. No, I thought I heard somebody's telephone talking to us. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Second characteristic, they suppress and hold back and restrain themselves when they are enraged. When somebody did something to them that enraged them, and they held themselves back. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who pardon the people when the people have wronged them. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the doers of good, the people of ihsan. And then the ayah goes on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, and notice that these first three or four characteristics, those who what? Spend when they have plenty, when they have little, benefits to other people. And al-kadhimin al-ghayd, those who restrain their rage, this is something that benefits the other people. Wal-afina an nas, those who pardon, this is something that benefits an-nas, the other people. But here Allah says, after this, and then He says, wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsineen, and the muhsineen, as the Shaykh will explain later, may go both ways. But he says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, and those who do fahisha, that the most evil of all evil deeds, or they wrong their own selves. They wrong their own selves. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, then they remember Allah. Those people who, when they commit these horrible sins, fahisha, or they do any less than that, sins that harm their own self, then they remember Allah, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and as a result of remembering Allah, they seek forgiveness of their sins. Yani they remember Allah. We remember Allah as believers. If we commit a sin, we have to remember Allah. And as a result of remembering Allah, this could be the thing that will cause us to seek forgiveness for our sins. Otherwise, if we forget Allah, He will cause us to forget ourselves. As Allah said in another place in the Quran, those who forgot Allah, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. So Allah caused them to forget their own selves. But if you remember Allah, Allah will make you remember your own self. Yani you commit a sin, you remember Allah. So Allah makes you to seek forgiveness for your sins, which is to your own benefit. وَمَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives sins except Allah? Yani they seek forgiveness of their sins, and then Allah says, وَمَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who do they seek forgiveness from? Who forgives sins except Allah? And then he says, after this characteristic of those who were, when they sin, they remember Allah and they seek forgiveness for their sins. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they do not continue in doing those sins. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Yani wow is wow al-hal. Wow al-hal means what? Meaning that they don't continue while they know that what they're doing is sinful. While knowing, a person might not know, that's different, right? But what about the person who knows that what they're doing is sin, it's evil, it's disobedience, it's disliked by Allah, and while they are conscious of this reality, they are sinning. These people that Allah is talking about here, that the paradise has been prepared for, those people who Allah loves, when they commit sins, they remember Allah and they seek forgiveness, and they do not continue in their sins while they know, while they are aware that it's something displeasing to Allah and it's evil and its harmful effects. And then Allah ends this ayat, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And these people who are described in these characteristics, six or seven characteristics, these people, their reward is forgiveness from their Rabb, and gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding in them forever. And how wonderful is the reward of the Amilin. Oh, how wonderful is the Ajr al-Amilin. The Amilin, not the people who hope and wish and dream. Rather, the people who are doing something. You have to do something. Okay? And remember in the beginning of the ayat, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. And in the end of the ayat, their reward is what? مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٍ. Yani in the beginning of it, Allah is encouraging us to hasten to seek forgiveness from your Rabb and to seek a garden. And in the end of it, He said, the people who have these characteristics, their reward is that they will have forgiveness from their Rabb and gardens underneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever. And oh, how wonderful is the reward of the workers, the people who do good deeds. Here the Shaykh, now he goes to this ayah to explain it piece by piece, each one of these descriptions. The first of them, هَؤُلَاءِ هُمَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. These, described in these ayat, these are the muttaqoon, the people of taqwa. First description, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend, yani in the condition when they are in ease, as well as when they are in difficulty. Yani when they are healthy and when they are sick. When they are comfortable and when they are under yani hardship. Whatever their condition, they always spend in the way of Allah. Naam. And this is something that we have to ask ourselves. Do we only spend when we have a great surplus? When we have a lot of money? And when it starts getting short, then we hold tight to our pockets. Or are we of those who spend when we have plenty and when we have little? In affluence and in poverty, in difficulty and ease. Because this is the description of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, U'iddat, yani that the Jannah has been U'iddat, prepared for them. The Shaykh says, the meaning of this is that they spend from their wealth, fissarra, yani meaning when their condition is in comfort and ease. and they have plenty of wealth, and they are happy, and they are delighted. And darra, yani, meaning when their condition is dayiq, yani, is tight. Yani, you know how they say, the money is tight? Huh? The Shaykh said that. Their condition is tight. Yani, their livelihood is tight. And they are low-spirited, depressed, yani. They are not happy. They're having hardship and difficulty. Naam. And here, I'll go on. Yani, the Shaykh, he says, walakin, yani, after mentioning this, he said, but here Allah did not make clear how much they should spend. How much they should spend. They spend in difficulty and hardship, but how much should they spend? The Shaykh, he says, that Allah made it clear in many other ayat. And he mentioned two ayats, one Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 219th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْ. Yani they ask, yani they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani what should we spend? How much should we spend? And Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people, al-af, yani spend al-af. Yani, what does it mean al-af? مَزَادَ عَنْ حَاجَتِكُمْ وَدَرُورَاتِكُمْ فَأَنْفَقُوهُ. Yani, whatever is above and beyond your needs and your necessities. Above your needs and your necessities. Yani, these are two different things. These necessities, you can't live without them. Needs, yani, I could use this. Huh? Above your needs and necessities, spend. فَأَنْفِقُوا. Spend it. Don't hold back. You have your needs and necessities taken care of. What are you holding on for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayat, in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 67th ayat, also explaining how you should spend, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Yani those who when they spend, this is from the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman in Surah Al-Furqan. The last section of Surah Al-Furqan where Allah mentions how many characteristics of the Ibadur Rahman, the worshippers of Allah Ar-Rahman. And from amongst them he said what? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They, when they spend, they didn't spend wastefully, extravagantly. Nor did they spend stingily, holding back, tight fist. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Rather, they took the middle course. They wasn't wasteful, nor were they stingy. But they took the moderate course. They spend moderately. So they spend with a spending that doesn't contain israf, nor taqtir. Yani it doesn't contain extravagance or wastefulness, nor stinginess. They spend also al-af, yani meaning whatever is above and beyond their needs and their necessities. And let us remind, yani, a hadith that I think is very appropriate in this place, if I may add, to what the Shaykh has said, and I do that, yani, with all humility, yani, it's just because, yani, it's an important hadith, and there are so many hadith that he could have mentioned, but he mentioned what he mentioned, and I would like to add this hadith. Hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah, ما نفقت. يعني ها نقصت. نعم. ما نقصت صدقة من مال. ما نقصت صدقة من مال. يعني that صدقة, it doesn't decrease a person's wealth. And I mention that why? Because sometimes when we are hasty, when we are yani slow in spending, it's because we feel that we're going to run out of money. But the Prophet ﷺ said, yani that sadaqa does not decrease a person's wealth. And he also said in that hadith, which yani two other points, one of them is related to our topic tonight, وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. That Allah, He doesn't increase any servant due to their pardoning. Because that's part of our topic tonight. He also said in the hadith that Allah doesn't increase the servant who pardons except He increased them in honor. عِز. Yani the person who pardons, Allah increased them in yani honor by pardoning others. Don't think that. That's a sign of weakness. If you pardon people, people are going to think you weak. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases you in honor and might and your station and your status with Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and it's not related to our topic tonight, but it could be related. He said, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعُهُ اللَّهِ وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعُهُ اللَّهِ And no person has humbled theirself to the created beings, to the people, for the sake of Allah, except that Allah raises him up. And each one of these points, the people think the opposite. That if you give charity, your wealth decreases. The Prophet said, no, it doesn't decrease. The people think if you pardon people, you will be brought lowly. Rather, Allah will honor you. The people think if you humble yourself, then people will step on you, but Allah will raise you up. And again, this hadith reported by Imam Muslim and others from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And after this, the Shaykh goes to the next characteristic. والكاظمين الغيظ يعني those who الذين إذا اغتاظوا أي اشتد غضبهم قضموا غيظهم ولم ينفذوه وصبروا على هذا الكظم يعني the meaning when a person's anger يعني is severe, intense, their anger is intense, not just regular anger but rage, then they suppress, they restrain their rage. Naam. And isn't it common amongst the people that when they're angry, they let loose? Because they can say, I was angry, I didn't know what I was doing. But the one who fears Allah, Allah prays the people who when they're angry, they take control of their self. And they suppress their anger and their rage. And they don't execute. Yani meaning they don't do what they have the ability to do to punish the person that they are outraged with. They don't do that. And they patiently, they bear patiently this holding back, suppressing of their anger and their rage. They bear it patiently, even though it's difficult to do. And here the Shaykh said, this suppression of one's rage, min ashaddi ma yakunu ala nafs. It is from the most difficult thing for the nafs, for the inner being to do, to suppress your anger or your rage. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Note the Shaykh says that this is from ashaddu ma yakunu ala nafs. And he took these words ashaddu ma yakunu ala nafs from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laysa ash-shadid bi sur'ati walakin ash-shadid alladhi yamliku nafsahu inda al-ghadabi. Yani the shadid, the strong person, is not the one who's a good wrestler, who's able to overcome other people and throw them down and pin them to the ground. But rather, a shadid, the real strong person, is alladhi yamliku nafsahu, the one who's able to take control of his nafs. And that's difficult when he's angry, because the Prophet ﷺ said, he didn't just say the person who's able to control himself and leave it at that. Alladhi yamliku nafsahu indal ghadabi. That's where the difficulty is. When a person is angry, to control yourself at the time of anger. Anybody can control themselves if they're not angry. But when the person is angry, that's the test of the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with here. He says that this one is the strong person. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh says that a surah, it means that you wrestle the people down. Yani that you overcome a person in wrestling. This is the meaning that is mentioned in this hadith. Laysa ash-shadid bis-surah. Yani in reference to being able to throw people down and wrestle them down. This is not the one who is strong. Rather, a strong person is the one who controls himself at the time of anger. And this is because the person, when he becomes angry, he's agitated. His nafs is agitated, is stirred up. Huh? And his jugular vein or his veins swell up. Yani sometimes you can see the veins in a person's neck sticking out their neck from anger. You can see this, really. Naam, some people, they become so angry you can see their veins look like they're about to pop out. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is explaining to us, yani the condition of a person when they become angry, what happens, yani they become agitated, their veins swell up, their eyes may become reddened, and they reach a condition in which they love to take revenge. A person is angry, they want to take revenge on the one who has angered them. This is how a person feels when they're angry. Maybe if you're not angry, you might not be a vengeful person. But when you become angry, you lose control. This is what's happening to the person when they're angry. So if a person restrains this anger and they calm down, then this, he said, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ. This will be from the reasons or the causes of a person entering the Jannah. And you became angry, enraged, and you calmed yourself down by the permission of Allah. And know that anger is like a live coal, a hot burning coal that shaitan throws into the heart of the human being. Anger. So that, yani, if something happens, something occurs that disturbs him, that agitates him, then shaitan takes advantage of this opportunity and affects his heart, yani, by throwing into his heart these live coals that cause him to burn and heat up and become angry and lose control. وَلَكِنْ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْلَمَنَا مَا يُطْفِي هَذِهِ الْجَمْرَةِ. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has taught us some of those things which extinguish these hot burning live coals. And the Shaykh, he mentions three things here, and I'm going to add one more thing, and there are a lot of other things that could be mentioned. The first of them, he said, from amongst those things that extinguish anger is that a person seeks refuge with Allah from the rejected shaitan. And this is based on a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And for the sake of time, yani, we're going to go straight with how the Shaykh said it. So if a person feels anger occurring in them, and that this anger is going to overcome them, then he should say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. There's no doubt about it. If a person becomes angry, they should say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We can start with that. Secondly, the Shaykh says, from amongst these things, what time is the Iqamah? 8:15? طيب, جزاكالله خير. Second thing, and يجلس إن كان قائماً, that the person should sit if he's standing, and he should lay down if he was sitting. That means the person should put themselves down, and they should move to a lower level, from a higher level to a lower level. If they're standing, to sit. If they're sitting, lay down. So if that person was standing, he should sit, and if he was sitting, then he should lay down. And there's some discussion about this hadith, yani, that it's munqati'a, and yani, also it is mentioned, I think, in some of the footnotes, that it's muttasil and al-Ahmad. And in any case, the point is, there's some discussion about the authenticity of this hadith, and tonight we're not going to have time to discuss it in detail. 8 o'clock? Tayyib. Huh? Maybe 5 or so, something? Jazakallah khair. It's much appreciated. Jazakallah khair. And he lists some of this. Third point, he said, and yatawadda bitathhir a'dha'ihi al-arba, that a person should perform ablution by purifying these four members of the body that are washed in ablution. That is the face, the two hands, the head, and the feet. And of course, the fiqh of wudu is another discussion for some other time. But in any case, that's how he mentioned it here. As it came in the Quran, these four things mentioned. And in the sunnah, the clarification of how exactly wudu should be performed is the way it came in the sunnah. And nobody should imagine that you're going to just take this ayah from the Quran and forget about the sunnah. Don't imagine that. Naam. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew this ayah better than we did. And he made wudu the same way. Yani, even with some slight modification. Naam, sometimes he washed one or two or three, but he did the same process, basically. Naam. So that a person should make wudu, and he said, yani, wash these parts of the body, and for indeed this will extinguish the anger that the person is experiencing. And again, this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and Ahmed, and others from Abu Wa'il and radiallahu anhu. And there's some discussion about its authenticity. Yani, so yani, we're going to look at it maybe if we have time next week, but not tonight. Yani, there's some discussion about its authenticity. In any case, no matter, still the practice is something that have been yani mentioned by all of the scholars of fiqh, mentioned by Ibn Qayyim in Zad al-Ma'ad, mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah in many of his books, the practice of making wudu when a person is angry. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the hadith is sahih, but the practice is certainly legitimate. There's no doubt about that. And the fourth point that I want to mention is remaining silent. Yani, there's a hadith in the Muslim of Imam Ahmed, and Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Sahih al-Jami'ah. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْقُتْ إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْقُتْ يعني سكت, be silent. If any one of you becomes angry, be silent. Don't talk. Don't talk. يعني if somebody wants to argue with you and they're making you angry, don't talk. And either they'll argue with themselves, which probably is not likely, at least you will save yourself in anger from saying something that you will regret later. Remain silent. So if a person feels the anger coming across them, they should use these things that we've been guided to by the Prophet ﷺ until the anger, yani, diminishes. Otherwise, how many people, and there's a mistake here in the Arabic, illa fakam min insanin. It says, ay bihi ghadabuhu ila mufarakati ahli. It should say, adda bihi. It's a printing mistake. Should say, wa illa fakam min insanin, adda bihi ghadabuhu ila mufarakati ahlihi. Yani, that how many times did a person allow his anger to cause him to be separated from his family, meaning from his wife, divorce? How many are the people who said, I was angry with my wife and I divorced her 3 times? And perhaps he became angry and he beat his children, yani, with a violent beating, especially in the Kafir countries, but unfortunately even, yani, Muslims. And perhaps a person became angry and he broke his, yani, utensils, eating utensils or otherwise. Or he, yani, tore up his clothing in a fit of anger, or whatever is similar to this that happens when a person becomes angry. And for this reason, Allah the Most High said, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ, yani, Allah praised those people who take control of themselves at the time when they are agitated by anger. Yani, meaning they don't act upon their anger, they don't act out their anger on the people, but rather they restrain themselves from doing harm to the people, and they يَحْتَسِبْ, yani, they anticipate reward from Allah for doing so. They realize that if they restrain themselves, there's reward from Allah. And this ihtisab is so important. If a person wants to do good, remember the reward that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. How many hadith came in? Yani, whoever believed, yani, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban. Huh? Imanan wa ihtisaban. Believe and ihtisab, anticipating, expecting reward from Allah. This is one of the great things that motivate a person who has iman to do good. It is the ihtisab, expecting, hoping for, anticipating the reward of Allah. And then, yani, the Shaykh, he says, the third characteristic, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and perhaps this will be the last one that we'll mention tonight, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, yani, those who pardon the people. That is, when people do evil to them, they pardon them. So whoever pardons and then reconciles with the people who did wrong to them, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then his reward is guaranteed by Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in an unrestricted fashion, yani, the pardoning here. But the Shaykh says, but he has made clear, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other ayat, as in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 40th ayat, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ, yani, he defined the meaning here, not just pardon, مَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ, and reconciled, meaning made reconciliation, made amends with the people that yani, they are pardoning for doing them some wrong. They reconciled between that person and the one who wronged them, so that things returned, the love and affection and whatever relations were between them, came back to its normal condition. Not just pardoning, but reconciliation. Yani, if there was brotherhood between them, it returned. The condition of brotherhood returned. If there was friendship, it returned. Yani, the person aslaha qalbahu. Yani, he rectified his heart, so that he didn't just pardon, but in his heart, he was okay after that. He was good with the person after that. This is what is required, the Shaykh is saying here. Not just pardoning, because some of us pardon, and we hate the person that we pardoned. No, that's not acceptable. That's not what's required here. مَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ, and reconcile with the people that you pardon, then the reward is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, أَنَّ الْعَفُوا لَا يَكُونُ خَيْرًا إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ فِي أَصْلَحٍ, yani, that pardoning will not be khair, except that within it there's islah, rectification, normalizing relations, getting back to where we were before the problem occurred between us, and we pardoned, you pardoned, but then you remain in bad, ill feelings with those people. No, you have to rectify. You have to rectify. This is very important. The Shaykh mentions this here, and his teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir says that Allah has made as a condition for pardoning that there be islah. Yani such that if the person who is being pardoned is not deserving, yani if the maslaha shar'iyya, the benefit in the sharia is not achieved by pardoning that person, then don't pardon them. Yani there should be some benefit in pardoning the people. And the Shaykh Abu Thaymeen rahimahullah explains what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says here in detail. And this is what we're going to stop at with tonight. Yani this discussion concerning the pardoning and reconciliation. Shaykh Abu Thaymeen, he says, there's no khair in pardoning and afu except that it contains islah, rectification, making amends, fixing the relations with the people, the person that you pardoned. That the hearts are corrected and brought back together again. So if a person did evil to you, and that person is known for doing evil, and known for being rebellious, and transgressing the bounds against the worshippers of Allah, person is known for that. فَالْأَفْضَلْ Then what is better? And the Shaykh, he didn't say you can't pardon them. He said فَالْأَفْضَلْ But what is better with that person is that you do not pardon them, but rather that you take your rights from them. Yani if they deserve some punishment, but from the Sharia, then they should be punished. Because if you pardon them, then perhaps the evil will increase. Yani some people, if you pardon them, they will keep doing evil. So that person, it's not the maslaha shar'iyya that you pardon that person. Rather, that person needs to be punished. We have to pay attention to this matter. Who is the person that should be pardoned? Can you pardon a person without considering this? Yes, you can. The Shaykh, he didn't say it's haram. He said, فَالْأَفْضَلْ What is better is that that person who's known for this, for harming people and transgressing the bounds, that person, that they don't be pardoned. That's what's better. And then the Shaykh, he says, so if a person, the one who has done some yani wrong to you, makes mistakes, a little bit of mistakes, yani it's not something that they are known for, and their transgressing of the bounds is yani minimal, it's not something that they are known for, but rather this is something that happens rarely from that person, that they do wrong to other people. This is something unusual for that person. That person, فَهَذَا al-afdal. And tu'afu, that this one, it is better that one be pardoned. And the Shaykh says, and from the examples of this is the automobile accidents, which are plentiful, and some of the people are hasty in pardoning the jani, the person who committed the crime, who caused the accident. They are hasty in pardoning that person. وَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِالْأَحْسَنِ Again, the Shaykh said, هَذَا لَيْسَ بِالْأَحْسَنِ This is not the best thing to do, to be hasty and just pardoning the person outright without any consideration. But what is better, al-ahsan, to reflect and to examine the situation. Is this driver somebody who's known to be careless, reckless? Yani just, yani does irresponsible. Is this person known for that? He doesn't care. لَا يُبَالِ بِعِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يُبَالِ بِالْعَنْظِمَةِ And if this person doesn't care about the people, the worshippers of Allah, they don't care about the system, the laws. They just violate the laws like it's okay. If that's the person, if you find that that's the person, فَهَذَا لَا تَرْحَمُ Don't have mercy on this person. But take your rights from them fully. Yani punish them to the full extent of the law. As far as the person who is known for being careful, who has fear of Allah, and who is far distance from causing harm to the people, and this person is known for the iltizam bin nizam, that they follow the rules and regulations and laws, they're known for that, then this person, the Shaykh said, yani maybe inadvertently, yani just the person fawat al-hirs, yani they lost concentration, they wasn't yani fully attentive, yani it was a slip, but it wasn't their norm. This kind of person, he said, فَعَفُهُنَا أَفْضَلْ Yani pardoning this person in this situation is better. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ And the person who pardons and reconciles makes up with the person who made a slip. who had a small accident, then they're not known for this. Then this one, if you pardon them and you reconcile with them and the hearts come back together and the love and the brotherhood and the relations are normal again, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, the one who does that, their reward is with Allah. Yani don't expect the reward from the king or the president or the mayor or the governor or your mother or your father. The reward is from Allah. Yani this is a tremendous statement. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And think about what he's saying here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the reward is with him for you if you do this. This is a tremendous encouragement to pardon and reconcile. Make up with the person that wronged you, pardon them and make up with them. And then, yani, the fourth yani characteristic would not necessarily mention as a characteristic. And this discussion is kind of lengthy, so we're not going to yani discuss it fully. But yani, we'll start with it, and next week, inshallah, we'll try to complete it. He said, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And after mentioning these three characteristics of the people who spend when they have plenty and when they have little, and the people who restrain, suppress their rage and their anger when somebody has angered them, and they are pardon of the people, then Allah says, after mentioning that, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And what is the meaning of Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen? Meaning, Allah loves these people, the muhsineen who have these characteristics. And the people who do good, he means the people who have these characteristics, and ihsan is one of their characteristics. Yani, mahabbat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lil'abd hiya ghayat kulli insan. Yani, the love of Allah. Yani, that Allah loves you for every abd. This is the goal for every human being. This is the goal. This is what is requested, required, desired. So every believing human being, anyway, the Shaykh says, every insan mu'min, then his goal, his objective, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla love him. وَهِيَ الْمَقْصُودِ, this is the objective, this is the goal, this is what we are seeking for every believer. And this is, yani the Shaykh is saying here, that this is the goal based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 31st Ayat, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say, if you indeed do love Allah, then follow me. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will love you. Yani meaning that the important thing, yani that Allah is emphasizing this ayat, if you claim that you love Allah, the proof of it is in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you follow the Prophet for real, that means you really love Allah, and then Allah will love you. This is the goal, that Allah love you. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So Allah loves the muhsineen. And the Shaykh here, he says, and there's a mistake in the translation here, so pay attention. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ اتَّبِعُونِي تُصَدَّقُوا فِي مَا قُلْتُمْ. He didn't say, Allah didn't say, follow me, meaning follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you believe. You will be believed in what you said. Meaning you said you love Allah, if you, yani, he didn't say, so follow me, the Prophet, and we will believe that you really love Allah. Allah didn't say that. As though the goal is, you want people to believe you. That's not the goal. People believe you or don't believe you, it doesn't matter. The real goal is to earn the love of Allah. And that comes from what? From following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, Allah didn't say, yani, if you really love Allah, follow the Prophet and Allah will love you. He didn't say, follow the Prophet and we will believe you in your claim that you love Allah. But he said, rather, if you follow the Prophet, then the result of that will be that Allah will love you, will earn the love of Allah. And indeed, the most important thing, yani the Shaykh says here, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla love you. As'alallah ayyaj'alani wa iyyakum min ahbabihi. And the Shaykh, he made this dua, ameen, yani that I ask Allah that he make me and you all to be from those whom he loves. Naam. What if we had been there, sitting with the Shaykh when he was explaining this book and he made this dua? Naam. May Allah make us all from those whom He loves. Yani the people of Ihsan. Yani the people of Taqwa. The people who do good deeds that benefit others and that which yani benefits theirself as well. Naam. And then the Shaykh, and we're not going to read from here, we'll stop here. وأما المحسنون في قوله والله يحب المحسنين. يعني the Shaykh, now he goes on to explain what is intended by محسنون. He said it means, يعني, well, I'll read this point anyway. يعني فالمراد بهم المحسنون في عبادة الله والمحسنون إلى عباد الله. يعني what is meant by the محسنون, he said those who are محسنون في عبادة الله, meaning what? Those who يعني exhibit إحسان in the worship of Allah, في عبادة, in the عبادة. And those who are محسنون إلى عباد الله, يعني those who exhibit إحسان towards the worshippers of Allah. يعني those who exhibit إحسان in the worship of Allah and those who exhibit إحسان towards the worshippers of Allah. And the Shaykh goes on to explain both of these. What is the إحسان في عبادة الله, in the worship of Allah? We know the hadith of Jibril, to worship Allah as though you see him, and so on. And the يعني إحسان in reference to the worshippers of Allah, يعني in dealing with the people, being kind and generous and just and fair and good to the people. These are the two aspects of إحسان that the Shaykh is going to explain, and we'll come to it يعني in the next يعني time we meet بإذن الله تعالى. Hopefully in the next time we'll complete this introduction and take the first hadith بإذن الله تعالى. Now,
does this kindness is specific only to the Muslims or
no? Kindness to the ibad Allah يعني is general. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was kind, he was generous, he was charitable, he was pardoning and forgiving even to the mushriks. نعم, not just to Muslims. يعني some of us, we limit our kindness and our charity only to the Muslims. There's no doubt that the Muslim, the one who's worshiping Allah, has more right to goodness from us. There's no doubt about that. But it's not limited only to a person who says he's a Muslim, or only to a person who says he follows the Sunnah, or only to a person who has, yani, belongs to our group or our Jama'ah or our Hizb. No, it doesn't mean that. Because the Prophet ﷺ was kind to the people. And we just read about Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah that he was known for what? Exemplary behavior with all the people that he met. Do you think he only met Muslims? Do you think that he only met Muslims? Wallahi, he met kafirs. Naam, he met mushriks. He met fasiks. He met ahlul bid'ah. Wallahi, he did. And his character was good with all the people. But some of us, we can't even be good with the people from our jama'ah. And it was the people that we claim we're from the same hizb. And I use that word intentionally, not by accident. If you know what I mean. Huh? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.